On redistricting for today, Friday, February 18th, 2011. I'm Suzanne Bonamici, chairing the committee today. And then for the House, two co-chairs are absent. And so it's my understanding that Representative Esquivel will gavel in the House.
Yes, they're absent. I will open the meeting of House redistricting for the House on February 18th, 2011.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Esquivel. Yes, our two co-chairs from the House, I don't know if absent is appropriate.
I would say excused.
Excused. They are excused for the day. I know Representative Garrett is being honored at an event in Portland.
They checked in with me. So.
They checked in, so they aren't here today. But I know, welcome to the people who are here and to the many people I know are either listening or watching the hearing today on redistricting. We have very interesting information we're going to hear today about population and demographic trends. But before that, I wanted to make just a couple of announcements to the committee and to people listening today. There's a handout that I know our committee administrator put out for the public that we received a news release from the U.S. Census Bureau yesterday. And we are among the group of states who will receive the Census Bureau data next week. It doesn't say when next week. It says next week the Census Bureau anticipates releasing the local level 2010 census population counts for a list of states, including Oregon. So I did want to note that they say they anticipate releasing it. So we are planning on receiving that information from the Census Bureau sometime next week. Looking forward to getting that information. It's a little earlier than we expected, so we're glad about that. I also wanted to let the committee know that we have a preliminary plan for our road trip with details. Excuse me. We hope to have that information available next week. We are planning on 12 locations over 8 days. We're still working out some of the details, and we have those proposals to our leadership in both chambers, both caucuses, to make sure that everyone knows our plans. We will be traveling around the state. Hope to get all of those details out to the public next week, and so the public and the members can start planning on letting their communities know when we will be out and around the state. The other announcement that I have to make is that the committee knows that we are considering adopting a couple of appendices to our rules that deal with things like management of the workrooms and the mapping technology, how amendments will be drafted, and by whom and when, and all of those details are still being worked out. We wouldn't adopt them today even if we had them prepared because of our co-chairs on the House side being absent. So we're going to wait and do that again next week. So those are the announcements for today. We're going to start with our hearing with it's an informational meeting, again, about the Oregon population and demographic trends. And we'll bring up a panel of Charles Reinerson, I hope I said your name right, and Jason Yagurvich. I hope I'm at least close. If you want to come on up, and then Wayne, do you want to come up with them or do you want to wait?
Since we have another presentation, we're
going to
follow up.
Okay, terrific. Welcome.
Thank you. Senator Bonamici, chairs of the committee, members of the committee, thank you for inviting us. I'm Jason Jurgovich, Assistant Director of the Population Research Center, with Charles Reinerson, who's a Senior Demographic Analyst and chairs the State Data Center Coordinator for PRC, Population Research Center. For the larger community who's watching online, we wanted to talk about a little bit about what we do at the center. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next slide.
Okay.
We produce the population estimates, the annual population estimates for Oregon's cities and counties, which is a charge that we have under ORS 190, 510 through 610. And we do that on an annual basis for, as I mentioned, the cities and towns across the state. We also, that population estimates program also works with the U.S. Census Bureau. to review the population estimate methods that the Bureau conducts for their estimates, as well as we use our local knowledge to review those estimates based on annual surveys that we conduct in across the state and our sort of on-the-ground understanding of what's going on here in Oregon. I'll let Charles talk about the State Data Center.
The State Data Center is a national program of the Census Bureau, a network of agencies all over the U.S. In every state that disseminate census data and help the public access and understand it. So our office at Portland State University is the lead agency, but we have a network of affiliates around the state that we bring to Portland for periodic workshops, training, and they are also ambassadors of census data. The local regional economists with the employment department and some government documents librarians and planners from a few of the councils of governments. Those are largely who is in the State Data Center network.
And then for number three and four, demographic consulting services, we do fee-for-service for other state agencies, not-for-profits, private enterprises that require applied demographic consulting services. And then we also serve as the Center for Applied Demography Instruction at the university, working with undergraduate, graduate students who are interested in applied population, whether it be sociology, urban planning, across multiple disciplines.
And as Chair Bonamici said, we are lucky to be in mustard color on this map, indicating that our data is coming. If the other states are any indication, it may be either Wednesday or Thursday, and of course you'll have it. Or the elected officials who are on the list, the House, Senate, Governor, Secretary of State, they will have it before the public. The Census Bureau waits until they make sure that everybody has it before they put it up on their website. So that usually happens within 24 hours. So we're all looking forward to seeing the data next week. I haven't seen it yet either. So you can see in blue the states that for which data already has been released.
It's just a historical analysis of growth in Oregon compared to the Western United States as a whole and the United States as a whole from the 1970 period up until today. You can see each of these decades, Oregon has been at the Western average, or slightly above the Western average, as well as the U.S. average, with one exception being the 1980s. The early downturn of the 1980s resulted in a lot of losses of net migration, particularly among working-age populations in Oregon, which was one of the resulting factors as to why the growth in Oregon was as low as it was during the 80s. The most recent period that you have there in the 2000s, Oregon's growth was approximately 12% during the 2000s. Compared to the Western growth, which was Western states, were 13.8% growth, so slightly higher than Oregon. And the U.S. average was about 9.7%. If you compare that to other regions in the country, the Midwest and the Northeast, we're at 3.9% and 3.2% respectively. So definitely a disparity of growth based on regions in the U.S.
So we got our 2010 number in December for the state. Grew about 400, added close to 400,000 people in this decade, which is a lot of growth, but not as much as in the 1990s when we added closer to 600,000. Next week we will know the official count of the 18 and over population when the redistricting data comes out. But here is an estimate based on our annual estimates for July 2010, showing a very interesting pattern that the population under age 18 really hasn't grown much since 2000. All the growth is in the population 18 and over.
I just want to talk a little bit about the changes in population that affect the Oregon House and Senate districts. So this is In 2000, approximately 57,000 Oregonians per house district. Based on 2010 population, that number will increase to about 63,000 persons per house district. So an increase of about 6,800 people per district. And in terms of the Oregon Senate districts, it was 114,000 in 2000, and that's going to be increasing to about 127,000 people per Senate district over the period. I also wanted to mention for the larger audience as well, I don't have a slide on this, but with Washington receiving the additional congressional district and Oregon not receiving the district, missing out by about 41,000 people, the disparity between persons per congressional rep between Washington and Oregon is particularly interesting. On average, one congressional rep in Washington will represent about 675,000 people. In Oregon, that number is going to be about 769,000 people. So almost 100,000 more people per U.S. congressional rep based on the reapportionment figures.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Brzezinski.
How does that compare on a national level?
I don't have that average. I think it's slightly over now 700,000.
Okay.
Obviously, the largest ratio is Montana at about 980,000 per rep.
And we saw a ranking. I think Oregon was 40 something among states in. We have one of the higher ratios of population to congressional district because we're on the high end of five,
right,
whereas Washington's on the low end of 10.
I think it's the sixth largest ratio in the U.S.
Okay. Thank you. Of course, next week we'll have population down at the block level. Right now, we only have our estimates at the county level. And we created this map to show counties relative to the state's growth. And, of course, that's what it's all about when you don't add any seats, is those places growing faster will have to shrink their districts, and the ones growing slower will have to grow. So, interesting, according to our estimates, there are only 9 of Oregon's 36 counties in which the percentage growth was higher than the state growth. So the other 27 counties grew slower. The percentage growth figures are on this chart. Maybe hard to read. The Central Oregon ones are obviously leading, and the Portland Metro outside of Multnomah, and along with Jackson and Morrow County, fastest growing. We've overlaid the 5 congressional districts on that same map and computed, according to the estimates again, hopefully, the state estimate was really, really close for 2010, less than a 1 percentage point different, and that's partly because it's July instead of April. We'll see about the county estimates and how this pans out, but it appears that House District 1 and House District 2 both grew faster than the state average. U.S. Congressional District 4 grew slower than the state average, and 3 and 5 grew pretty close to the state average. And if our estimates are right on the money, that's the deviation in the final column shows how much population might have to shift in order to rebalance those 5 congressional districts. We're going to see a little later, Wayne Coffey from your staff has some data by House and Senate district from estimates, but we overlaid these on the county population change as well, the Senate districts and House districts. And again, something else we'll have next week, population by race and ethnicity. This is from the Census Bureau's 2009 estimates for the state, showing the state getting more diverse. And this is a trend that, you know, not unique to Oregon, certainly. I've looked at the numbers in other states, and it's pretty similar trends. And we have grouped, in order to look at race and ethnicity and other variables, by general regions of the state, we carved the state up into 6 pieces for this analysis, and you see them there. I believe you do have this show, so this PowerPoint show at your access. I won't get into the details, but again, about half of the growth. Metro there is not the exactly the metropolitan area. That's the three counties, Washington, Multnomah, Clackamas. So about half of the state's growth we estimate in that area. With Central, the three counties, Crook, Jefferson, and Deschutes, following as the second fastest growing region in the state.
And I should just mention, about five counties are representing about 80% of the gains in population. Washington, Multnomah, Marion, Clackamas, and Deschutes counties.
So the Census Bureau's homepage is where most of us will go to get the data. And here it is at census.gov.
And we also just wanted to let people know that as Census 2010 data rolls out, as well as American Community Survey data, which is providing us details on the social and economic makeup of Oregon, we're going to be releasing this data for specific variables, not only for the Portland Metro through the Institute of Metropolitan Studies at Portland State University, but as the state agency, the Population Research Center, will be distributing the data countywide and statewide, and it's going to be available on that website at the bottom. The first two variables that we've mapped include poverty and educational attainment. So this specific graph is showing the educational attainment in Oregon, those individuals with at least a bachelor's degree or higher from 1990 to 2000 to 2005-09, which is based on ACS data. So as that data continues to roll out, we will make that data available on this website.
And the ACS data may be a good lead in to your staff person, Wayne Coffey. I think that's part of what he's going to be showing next. Any questions?
Questions? Committee, do you have any questions? No, thank you very much. Appreciate getting the information. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair,
Representative Escobar,
could you email us that presentation? I don't know if it's been done. I don't have my computer with me because I can't.
It is on the website.
It's been done.
It's right.
But, okay,
on the S drive. I had trouble getting to
the
sometimes.
Yeah. Steps and then came off.
The PowerPoint presentation.
Okay. I'll have it.
Our screen. She's trying to get it back up.
So I'll have it later.
It's going to come back.
There it is now.
It's two down from the hood.
So if it's an answer, that's good. Before I leave the meeting.
I want Multnomah County.
There's going to be a fight.
I can't believe I burned up 10 years in my life between the last time I
did. I was trying to think about it.
Let me ask that question. Lori or Jill, do you know, is the PowerPoint presentation also on the redistricting website?
I do not know the answer.
So that people can see it without going to the S drive?
It's on the S drive right now. After this meeting, I'll post it.
Terrific.
Oh, perfect.
Thank you.
Go to the website.
Thank you. A little more user friendly than the S drive. Thank you. Thanks so much. Welcome.
Chair Bonamici, Chair Steffler. Thanks for having us here. We're going to follow up on...
Say your names for the record.
Oh, thank you. My name's Wayne Coffey. I'm the GIS coordinator for redistricting. This is...
I'm Shannon Newell. I'm the redistricting assistant.
We're going to follow up on PRC's presentation by doing a web mapping demonstration using our ACS data that we've posted on a on a server through DAS. And so it's kind of a chance to explore both the data and this web application that could be used by the public and by other legislative staff without some of the technical abilities that that we have.
All right, Senator Topper.
Thank you. Wayne, before you start, you're using ACS numbers, which are different than the numbers which were just presented to us.
That's correct, Senator. And let me, I guess, briefly explain the ACS. American Community Survey is part of the U.S. Census Bureau's ongoing gathering of data. It's kind of aggregated into blocks of years, so it doesn't necessarily represent a specific time, but is kind of just a rolling average of data. So just to be clear, we're not looking at actual hard numbers here, but estimates. So I'm going to actually...
Excuse me, Wayne. Yes. Senator Beyer has a question.
I guess a follow-up question to that is, since we're going to get the real numbers next week, will those be loaded in some way so that the ACS numbers can be replaced by them?
That's correct, Senator. We will be updating them immediately. One thing I want to we'll point out in the presentation is the ACS numbers are only going to be, the Census Bureau numbers that are released next week for redistricting are only going to be the population and the six racial categories and the population over 18. We won't have some of the more social characteristic data like poverty and age breakdowns.
Okay. But when will that be available to the public? When will the data be loaded so the public can get at it?
As soon as possible. We will. The day we get it, I will. That day will. It will. I will have it posted. Ideally, that day or the next day.
Oh, okay. So quick.
In a perfect world.
Within 24 hours or so.
And before the presentation, I just want to clarify for those watching that this is a demonstration. It's not a proposed plan. There was a bit of a misunderstanding after a meeting a few weeks ago that something that showed on the map was a proposal. There's no proposal yet, so I just want to make that clear for the record that this is a demonstration only and it's not a proposed redistricting plan.
And we're actually not going to show any, we're going to just show the existing House districts and the way the current data shows up in those districts. So
overabundance of caution.
Okay, so at this point, I'll let Shanna Newell take over, and she's going to walk through how to demo this. She sort of set this demonstration up, and I can talk through some of the data that shows up as we go. And please interrupt and just ask questions, and we can just...
Thank you. And before you do that, I just wanted to welcome the scouts who are visiting today.
While she's moving through this, I'll just say that this is a web mapping program available through ESRI, which is the software provider of part of our redistricting software. This is a free service they provide online. There's nothing that needs to be downloaded, and there's a lot of other base data that they provide. And then what we're seeing here is the data that we have loaded up through DAS. This is our legislative districts. Go ahead, Shanna.
All right. One thing I'd like to show about this map right off the bat is that you can change what your view is going to look like. So you can look at topography, you can look at roads, you can look at satellite images. It's whatever you're comfortable with. So you can come to this website and immediately pick the map that's going to work
so
best for you. Personally, this map works best for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be there.
Okay.
To find out what is going on with this map, to learn what it is, you come over here to Map Contents.
Okay, right,
and Map Contents is going to tell you what is loaded on this map. Down here at the bottom, you can see I've got the street map loaded. We've also loaded this data ourselves. Wayne worked really hard on this. And it's showing you the different legislative boundaries, which I can turn off and turn on at will. And we've loaded some census and ACS data onto it. I don't know if you're hearing me properly. So, we're going to start with the population change. Now, because this is being hosted on a remote server, it's going to take it a moment to load. This is a problem we hope to correct very shortly. You can see the little toolbar down here is working hard to load this. So,
So just really quick, and we'll zoom in probably to the Portland area here in a second, but this is just a These values are based on changes from the 2000 to the 2009 ACS data, and they're as we go through this, they're going to essentially represent changes in the proportions of the population. So as we go through the racial data, we're looking at changes in the composition, and this would just represent here the change in the population of the district. So the legend's probably hard to read from back there, but the red areas represent areas of a positive change, and the darker green represent areas of negative change.
Okay. One thing I want to demonstrate with this is that it may be a little hard to read at times. See if I can click on the right link here. So you can set the transparency level. You can have zero transparency where you're not seeing any of the data, and you can have just the data layers, or you can put it in between so you're reading both. So we'll pick that, and we're going to zoom in on the Portland metro area now. And again, it's going to be a little slow right now.
And the reason for that is DAS's server has a slow transmission period. We're hoping to be able to host this locally on our own server in the Capitol, and IS is still looking into that for us.
And then do you have the House and Senate district lines on there? I know that...
Yes. Correct. We have House and Senate district lines. The data is representing the number, the numerical data is representing the House districts.
And it's fairly small here, so I know it's hard for you to read it from there. Let's see. I would like to bookmark the metro area so that we can come back here and look at data again. And it'll zoom us back to this point. And maybe we'll look at some different data now.
So this would represent change in the white population over the decade, and you can see District 43 has changed dramatically about a 16% increase in the white population as part of the composition. The rest of those areas would represent a stable or a negative change in the white population composition.
I'm going to change it over to the Hispanic population change in the Portland metro area. And there we have that data.
So in the same instance as we saw the other data change here, it would appear that the Hispanic population is dispersing more in terms of change composition towards that east and the west sides of the metro area.
I'm going to zoom out to the state level. Hopefully this will fill in shortly. Working on it. There we go. And we're going to zoom in on Bend. Just pick on Bend a little bit.
Sure.
We're going to change back to the general population change. Here we have Ben showing up in red. Okay. This is our legend.
So you can actually view the legend as well. It's just a matter of toggling between the two. I find that a little awkward for map applications, but...
Senator Beyer has a question.
Yes, Senator.
When you go in there, can you bring up block data along with that?
Yes, Senator. We're actually going to include that in part of the demonstration. That's data that's available through the software provider actually has numerous data sets that are free to use on this as well.
If you were looking at that and had block data, would it give you the numeric values along the side by block? Or?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
One thing we want to demonstrate that this program does is we've built this data, we put this on here, and we can still pull information out of it. So I've clicked the Identify button, and I want to know more about this section. So it's thinking about it, and it's going to tell us about House District 54. It's going to tell us the total population change, the percent change of population, the area in square miles.
And we can add any data we want to into that as we want to customize it.
I think I'm going to make another bookmark here, just for fun. All right, and we're going to test out our metro bookmark, see if it takes us back where we need to be. It does, and it'll load that data on there once it catches up. Okay, let's look at the population change in population over the age of 64.
This is the day, some of the data sets that won't be updated with the release of the census data next week. This will be the data we have to work with for any sort of investigations into the age groups.
And here's your legend for that.
And again, just to point out that why this looks like there's a migration of older populations moving out. This could very well just be a result of younger populations moving into the city and displacing the proportions. So the area south of Happy Valley there may just not have the same in-migration of younger populations. It would take a little more analysis to determine that.
Can you show the city boundaries on there?
Yes.
At the same time, you can just put up city and county boundaries.
Absolutely, we can show any layers we choose to put in there. In this case, for simplicity, we're kind of keeping some of those layers out. But and a user can add data as they want and turn layers on and off. It's essentially similar to Google Earth. The difference is you don't have to download anything. You can just go to a web browser and use this.
So to make this move a little faster, I'm going to turn off the census data and I'm going to show you the search feature. This is where things get interesting. You can search places. So we can go to Heppner, Oregon. You can find just about anything. We've tried some very, very small locations and haven't found them, but it's very, very rare. And you can, you know, move the map, save data points, all that stuff. So I'm going to go back to Bend, Oregon. And I've left our district lines on for ease here. Now, back to Medford, Oregon. Do you want to explain what the ArcGIS search function is?
Well, there's a number of different search tools here, and it's essentially going to different places. So here, this is searching inside ESRI's ArcGIS database that they provide, and you can query a number of different types of data, and it'll provide you stuff from their server site. You could also go to the web and look at privately hosted servers that are providing data as well. But you just have to choose a different search function.
The prefix USA will get you a lot of good data. If you just type in population, you might get a little lost. But if you put the USA in there, it'll take you to what you want.
And Chana has already created an explanatory PowerPoint to walk someone through the steps, and very detailed.
Very detailed. So the default here is to have 100% transparency, or 0% transparency. And we're going to change that so we can actually see what's happening here. And we'll notice that there's a nice red spot here. So I'm going to zoom in a little bit. I'm going to go back to map contents. And I'm going to set these lines darker so that we can see them a little bit better. And I'm going to set this a little bit lighter so that we can see that there's this area right here that has a lot of density that is bisected by two different house districts. And what I think is really special about this program is that a constituent can look at this, they can grab a tool, and they can say, this is important to me. They can draw all sorts of different lines around it. They can propose different shapes. Takes a second with this one. They can block out areas, they can make polygons, they can add text to it. And we'll edit that text so you can actually read it. Take out my typos. They can select these blocks. They can edit what is contained in them. They can have a long description. They can add pictures. They can add video. And then they can save it and email you the URL. Here's an example of me emailing myself this URL to this map.
It does require that they, if they're going to save it out and do that, they'll have to create an account, which is a very easy step to do. It's not complicated. There's not a lot of information they ask of, just a basic name and email address.
And is this presently on the redistricting website? So if a constituent goes to the redistricting website, they can get into this now? Or
no, we didn't want to provide it yet until it's been presented here, so we were we could get feedback on things, because we still want to we want to make some changes to the labeling and the boundaries and get it on a server that's a little quicker.
Thank you. Is there anything else I should show on this?
I think that's a great start, and we'd love to open it up for more questioning, or we could talk about the data more if somebody has a specific interest in a house that they want to talk about with the population change.
Senator Beyer?
So I'm assuming that the people who are interested in this are going to want to try and reconfigure districts. So can you give us an example, if someone wanted to play with this and reduce a district or add population, how they would do it?
Yeah, Senator, that does this tool doesn't provide the ability to do that. The shapes that Shanna was drawing there are just graphics. They're not creating any kind of a spatial data set. It's not able to read the data underneath that. It's not actually like a web GIS. It's interacting with a web GIS server, but it doesn't as a free service, it doesn't provide anything beyond that.
So if somebody wanted to, if they were in the Bend area and there's overpopulation, if they wanted to suggest to us a different configuration that met the numeric equal number, how would they do that?
If I were someone trying to do that here, I would probably go in and you would have to maybe individually query a number of census tracts and possibly you could use the graphic tool to draw around those census tracts and then, you know, essentially save your map out and show someone this. We would then have to go and interpret their data. It wouldn't be as simple as them creating a file they could send to someone else and say, this is how I'm interested in the district looking. So it is a little awkward in that sense. I don't think we're intending to provide this as actually a redistricting tool as much as a tool to provide information to the public and demonstrate kind of what we're working on and what data is out there.
And to pinpoint
that seems to miss the boat for what people will be interested in doing.
I agree. I have looked at a number of these other tools that have been provided, Michael McDonald's software that he's putting together, as well as some of the other private companies. But I haven't seen anybody actually draw a district with any of that yet in Oregon. I think when we query them about how do you take care of this, how do you take care of that, it's an in-process. And so I can't respond to any program that's actually been able to do that yet.
Hmm. Have you looked at the one that's a Eugene-based company called Moonshadow?
Yes, Senator, I have. In fact, I met with him yesterday.
Okay. When I seen it a couple months ago, I thought they could do that.
Well, they said they can do it, but the demonstration I got didn't actually show that they could do it. They were drawing some districts, and they were showing a lot of statistics, but when I asked about things like validating any errors or dealing with the nesting issue and showing a complex table matrix that would show you how the populations were, the deviations were changing, that sounded like that's part of the application they haven't completed the development of. And that's the same issue with Michael McDonald's program. When we asked him, he understands the issue, but they're working hard to make it work, but they haven't actually got it in the works yet.
For the 2020 census.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a great tool.
Has a question. Thank you. You know, as a committee member, I'm questioning how a citizen's going to go do this and how we're going to receive this information, how then we deal with it. So is there something here that somebody in Bend or Medford is going to do and then somehow submit it? I envision little neighborhoods, not a whole map, not just...
I guess I would hope to be more maybe to getting the interest out to be community groups. I know that a couple of community groups have contacted me asking about this and other programs and what they might be able to use. So the idea is, well, we can start with this and see how it works. I think it's still in progress how it would happen. I know there's talk about creating a survey that would allow people to also maybe look at the map, build a survey that talks about the district, but I'm not actually working on that myself. I've just understood that could be part of the process. So I don't think we want to create a thing where thousands and thousands of individuals are emailing URLs. I think we want is people to get together, a community group to get together and talk about this and maybe interact that way. I think would be more useful.
That's my understanding based on this demonstration that somebody could send us information to say, for example, right now my neighborhood is split into two house districts. Will you please fix that? Or this isn't a good idea because we're a community and we're represented by two different people. Mm-hmm. Things like that, but maybe not have the public doing the actual numbers.
Although last time, we got that.
I'm sure we will get it, but not through this particular tool.
We got maps.
Right. I'm sure that will happen.
I think we're talking about different ways to how we're going to make this available through the server, and we can set up different ways to, I would assume, organize how the data is brought back to us. We can look into that more in depth.
And I don't want to discourage that because I want to encourage public participation. I just don't think that this is the tool that's going to allow people out in the public to draw a plan and send it to us, just to give input. That's my understanding.
Yes, Senator, that's correct. That was the intention of showing is to see where we could go with that and to talk and just that there's lots of data available for people to explore that isn't so hard to get to. It's right here as a web application, and we can provide lots of data ourselves for that, and we can post a plan up here as it's at a certain stage in the process, and people could look at that and comment on it.
Senator Byer.
Given this, I assume that the GIS system that we'll be using internally to try and draw the lines is capable of doing that computation fairly easily, and is that correct?
Correct, Senator. It does the computation, and it provides lots of different graphical interfaces to show you how the process is moving along. And we've done a PowerPoint that shows part of that before, but it was very brief, so we can always individually get into it.
Members will have access to that capacity.
Yes, Senator, that's correct.
Questions? Questions of the House members? Thank you very much for the presentation.
Yeah, thank you.
Are there any other questions for today? Next week, we'll be hearing about communities of interest, and we are working on, maybe Laura, you could give an update, or Jill, on some of the groups that we've invited to come and speak about communities of interest.
We have talked to Common Cause, League of Women Voters, the League of Oregon Cities, the Association of Oregon Counties, the Oregon Farm Bureau, the Oregon Department of Transportation, Metro, CASA, APANO. I'm trying to get in touch with Urban League, so there's quite a group of people who will be showing up.
And any ideas from the committee that we can add to that, if you could get those ideas to Jill or Lori as soon as possible so we can make sure we get as much input as possible. I know we talked about the tribes as well.
Right.
On behalf of the tribes, to talk about communities of interest and help inform the committee about what people in our communities consider communities of interest and what's important to them. So if you could get your ideas, committee members or public, to the committee administrators for that hearing next week. At present, that is the last scheduled hearing that we're doing as a joint hearing. We will be talking to the the House co-chairs about planning for March. We do have our road trip as joint hearings. We understand that when we do those hearings, it could be that not all of the committee members will be able to go on all of the field trips, if you will. But we'll do our best to make sure that we have both House and Senate members at each of the committee hearings that we're doing across the state. Any further business from the House? Representative Holvey.
Well, thank you. Madam Chair, I know we've had a long series of presentations on all sorts of different software and programs, and I'm wondering what the expectation of the members of this committee being proficient in all these different applications that we've been watching.
Yeah. I was going to say, there won't be a test.
I have Wayne's phone number.
We have our professional staff to help us with that. So our members, I'm sure, vary in their levels of being tech savvy, and our staff will help us out as we get into that process. So.
Madam Chair, should we claim who our lifelines are?
If you wish to do that, Senator Przanski, you may. So, well, thank you. This is helpful, and once again, the census numbers are coming next week, and we'll have more information at that time. And I will adjourn the Senate Committee on Redistricting.
We'll adjourn the House Committee on Redistricting.